Okay, Ramblers, let's get rambling.
Now where it is now, everybody wants a piece of the market.
Oh my God, that is funny!
I don't remember asking you a thing.
I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
With all due respect, what the are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?
What the is so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
You represent the idiocy of today.
I did not know that.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Are you listening to me?
How's my shit together?
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant.
So that's it then. No one else really knows anything.
Well, welcome back to Dr. Jax. I'm Tom Howell. You're Mr. Matt Weber on the board. So Mr. Kevin O'Neill with us as well. SP Futures up 875. As that Futures up 33 as we're shaking off everything, as we always seem to these days. And the market yesterday came back and was really unchanged on the day after looking like it was going to fall apart two, three times. SP Futures were down 20 a couple times and came right back. It's the buy the dip mentality, or there's cash in the system, or it's something, but it's definitely amazingly resilient. And you have the constant. Kevin, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fine. I have a question about that.
Okay.
So when you say it's amazingly resistant, you know, just in your time in the market, or resilient, I think was the word you used, have you seen it like that before, where it was resilient and it was resilient and it was resilient until it wasn't?
Yes. Yes, 87, 99, you name it. It's been four or five times. Actually, probably.
Was it resilient for this long? Because it really has been, you know, even going back into the Obama years, it's just been, you know, creeping up.
Well, it was that way from August of 82 through really October of 87.
This one's about 12 years, too.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm saying there's been times. It really has been since August of 82 till now, really, with a few setbacks. Then the 99-2000.
Oh, but the setbacks are huge.
Well, 87, I think the Dow finished up on the year, even though we had the massive crash in October. 99 was an issue because it took out an entire mispriced industry, I'll use that term.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But the amount of it was a little like this in the sense that there was a panic pouring of money from the Fed because of the Y2K stuff. So when you see the later part, remember the gentleman, I forget his name, there were all these big shots of been in Davos. I've been listening to him, so the names are fading, but he said he hasn't seen a perfect storm, as you will, like this since early 99. When everybody was so concerned about Y2K that people were just, the Fed was pouring money in because they were convinced nobody's ATM was going to work and everybody wanted cash and blah, blah, blah. And it just seemed like it was the same time as all these dot com stocks were pouring in there, and you had the same sort of thing as today. It became so amazingly concentrated. Your Cisco's, your Microsoft's, all those companies just went up. And they were 47, 50% of the QQQ, just like the FANGs are now. And the more the Fed put money in, it went right into the system, right into the market. And when he started pulling back on it in 2000, it was 3-4 months later, well, the crash occurred. You know, those things all went flying down. Because it has to do with pretty much money in and money out, which is, you know, I really don't understand how people don't quite understand that, and why the monetarists of the world say just keep the money supply growing 0.5% more than the economy, which is harder to do than it seems like it. But we can never do that. It's always either way too much, or then we're too much, way too little. I think Kevin, if I could take 3-4 months off and run out to where either Russell are in his classroom or where Hal Snar is, and get 3 or 4 kids to help me, I think I could absolutely choreograph every big run up and bust in the market is being led by the Fed unknowingly. And I just, looking back on it, if I just would trade that way, and just realize, but I can't do that. When I say I can't do that, it's, I always think I'm not the only person that's reading the news. And yet it seems like sometimes I am. I mean, I mean, looking back on it, it was, I use the term, so simple. I mean, if you look at this, I'll get the thing up here about the balance sheet. The Fed started to wind it down at the end of 2018. And look what happened to the market in the last quarter. We got hammered. They never went down to, you know, like negative money supply growth or anything like that. They got down to 4.5%, which is still relatively expansionary for a 2% growth market. And yet we collapsed pretty much for that whole quarter. And as soon as, you know, president jumped all over the guy, we started pouring more money into the system. And what do you know? We go flying back the other way. And at the end of the day, there's just extra cash. It's just, you know, and we don't have any infrastructure whatsoever, in my opinion.
Is it extra cash chasing up the market?
Yeah.
Or is it the other way around? Is it the market, generating all this extra cash?
No, well, both and both. Because whenever you, that's why I'm always, I use the term ragging about, whenever you let it happen, people, you lose more money on the way down than they make on the way up. Because if people own a stock, if you buy, we don't really have that many people here, although we have some. PTI was never I won't say anything bad about the Schwabs or anything in the world, because there isn't anything bad to say. What I'm saying is if you want to buy 1,000 shares of XYZ, Kevin, it's $100. Well, that's a $100,000 transaction, right? But you only have to put up 50,000, because you can borrow 50. And so those numbers are set by the Federal Reserve. And after the 29 crash, you don't have to maintain 50, you only have to maintain 30. Okay, we're not going into a margin lecture, but now all of a sudden, if that stock goes to 150, you now have essentially another $50,000 in buying power that you can buy out of your account. You don't have to put any more money in it. So these accounts tend to, especially the people on margin, if you're aggressive, they tend to grow. So you're buying more and more and more. You know what I'm saying? Because now you have the buying power, so you can buy.
So it isn't necessarily it isn't necessarily more dollars, because it sounds like you're saying the same number of dollars is in the account. It's just that now it has more buying
right,
power.
It has more value, so you have more buying power. But there are more dollars into the system every day. I mean, the Fed is, last week it was like $100 billion. I'm trying to get that particular chart up here, and. They remember the week before I said they finally, after all these weeks, cut back on the amount of money supply, and that's on the balance sheet. But that's what they are. That's what they've been doing, is constantly putting money in. So when they went to the White House and Trump said basically I'm going to run my $1 trillion deficit this year, and the Fed said we're going to raise the balance sheet by $750 billion, what they're saying is we're going to make up $750 billion in the balance sheet, and we're going to pour it into the system. So for the $1 trillion, you're going to go out and borrow money from Kevin O'Neill and Matt Weber and me and my clients. For those people, they're going to turn around and create money and go and buy $750 billion of that back out of the market. So the net lending to regular people is only $250. So, this is all made up money. So somewhere along the line, somebody's getting a check for a bond that they just, and the check is made up dough. Well, it's in somebody's bank account, right?
Yeah. Well, and what you're saying then is eventually that, you know, whether that's a bubble bursting or whether it's, let me see if I can phrase this right. Whether it's a bubble bursting or whether it's just, you know, when the market takes a downturn. And maybe they're the exact the same thing,
yeah.
but then when there isn't enough money, to cover the margins, then you got a problem.
Well, and also the end of the day, you end up with inflation, which is too much money chasing too few goods, right? And anybody who thinks that we don't have inflation this time, it's not the general kind of inflation that started with oil last time, but it's absolutely a general sort of inflation. And yesterday, you look at the numbers that people came out with, like when Intel, when somebody says to you, a national TV that the margins are increasing. What does that mean?
Well, you mean the margins in the investor accounts?
Whenever Intel came out last night, and their margins were 35% versus 33%.
Oh, okay. So their gross margins, or their ROEs, or whatever. It sounds like gross margin,
right? What does that mean? They just raise their prices, right?
Well, it could mean that. That's one of those stats where you have to ask the next question. So is that increased margin on the same volume, or is that increased margin an increased volume?
No, well, I mean, margin means that you sold a widget for $4, it cost you $3 to make. That means your margin...
You could just as well have a higher gross margin because you're doing better on the expense side.
Correct.
You may have done some kind of automation, or whatever it is.
But that doesn't usually happen.
That allows you to produce cheaper, and so your gross margin is going to be higher, or you cut shipping costs, or you reduce your rework rate, or any of those kinds of factors can be in there. So that's what I mean. I need to know more. Don't just tell me.
I'm saying this is the other thing.
Don't just tell me that the margin increased. Tell me why.
Well, what I'm saying is that we both know that there's both the three of us, not just both of us, and the listeners all know that that's a two-sided transaction. But we all know that when you lower the margin, when you increase the margin from the cost side, it's probably a several-year program, right, to do things better. And I'm not saying these companies haven't done that, because they have. They've gotten way more efficient.
It's either several years or you had the big breakthrough, which happens once in a while.
But by and large, when people are shocked at the number on a quarterly basis, it's probably price. Right?
Yeah, and that should be something that's easy to answer.
Well, but that's another one.
Not for you and me to sit there and hear a report and do it, but for anybody who has the ability to do the research, that should be a relatively easy thing to answer.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is that we used to, when I first started in the business, when we had all this inflation, there was an infrastructure, for lack of a better term, on people reporting the actual increase in production versus the increase in sales, because people knew there was a difference because of the inflation. And all that infrastructure, all that I'll say truth in talking, is now gone. Nobody even knows what I'm talking about when I say that. But people in the early 80s, late 70s would actually report. General Motors produced, 9 million units versus 8.9 million last year. And by the way, our sales were up, 15% because we actually were up 1% in units, but we're up 14% in price. You can usually find
trade publications, but it has to be industry stuff. But you can usually find those to give you those kinds of answers.
But you're never going to get it out of McDonald's. You're never going to get it out of.
It's in the financial report somewhere. It's just kind of buried in the back.
Well, they're not going to tell you that the stuff that used to be on the dollar menu is now $1.99. I mean, no way on earth are you going to get a legitimate number from McDonald's. I'm not saying that they should go out of their way to do that for us. I'm just saying you don't get it. I'm not.
Well, and there is something else, just to use McDonald's as an example too. They did go through a process a few years ago of trying to figure out why their revenues were flat to down. And their sales were flat to down while the fast food market was still growing, because McDonald's is still the big dog, in terms of market share, but their market share, they weren't holding serve on that. So one of the things that they found a number of things, and part of that's why you see, if you were to go into a McDonald's restaurants now, you see most of them have been remodeled or are being remodeled in different color schemes and things like that. But one of the things that they found is that people just wanted more variety, especially at dinner time in their foods, and so they introduced a new line of sandwiches, um, and I think they called them signature sandwiches or something like that. And they come with a higher price tag. They absolutely have a higher price tag. Now, that's not necessarily raising prices. That's rolling out a new product
right.
that has, you know, that is more expensive. So I don't know how we would categorize that in terms of inflation, but what it really meant was that McDonald's was now, they weren't selling any more sandwiches per se, but sales per store were up. They weren't growing stores, but sales per store were up because the product mix had been changing. And as a result, you know, they were selling the more expensive items. It would be like, oh, a consumer electronics business, now I'm selling the high-end speakers instead of the, you know, the $20 USB speakers that you plug into your computer. Now they're selling, you know, much more expensive speaker sets. That's good growth, even though it's not volume growth. And that's different than saying I just jacked up my prices 5%.
Well, what I'm saying is I didn't say it was easy. I mean, as much as I criticize the CPI, I never said I wanted a job there. Right? you have a twofold mandate. One is to somehow make the CPI match up with 10 or 15 years ago so it means something to somebody. But you also need to be able to be flexible enough to take where you don't have medical care being 6% of the CPI when it's 20% of the economy, when it's an obvious flaw of that magnitude. So how do you do that? I mean, I've said before, Kevin, I don't even know if you were worried about tolls, okay, and you raised the tolls on the tri-state, say, but not for the people that have to pass, just for the people that drive through from South Dakota that you're trying to stick in the behind, right? Now, is that a stupido tax, or is it a price increase? You know, I'm not sure. I mean, what is it? I mean, I'm saying it's probably not counted anywhere, in the sense of it's an increase, but it is an increase. You know, but I'm saying this stuff is amazingly local to people. It was back in the 70s. If you were a person who drove a real lot, if you were a salesman, for instance, God love you when gas went from 30 cents to a buck in those days. There's a lot of money. But now it's different. But you look anecdotally at this thing. I mean, yesterday I was infatuated with the 86 Masters because Jack Nicklaus's 80th birthday. You know, and I looked and see an 86, the entire purse at the Masters was $785,000, and now it's $11.5 million. Now, if you put that in the price indicator, it should be something like 8 million and not 11. So everything we see at the higher end is dramatically higher than what the price of baseball teams are up 3 to 4 times in the last 10 years. CPI would tell you they should be up 35%, not 380%. This time, when you listen to people or read what people are talking about, they're saying, actually, the people on the lower end, in a percentage terms, now again, we're losing, in my opinion, and I don't even know if I was on national TV, how would I even explain this. It's been going on for so long that you're losing your percentages. You can't even, if somebody's wage goes from $10 an hour to 11, at the same time which is, you know, a 10% raise, I'm like, oh my God, the raises are up 10%, this is great. But if you take your hospitalization, which is now like 20 grand for a family, and you raise that even 5%, well, it's probably more, you just raise that, in the way you count it, you've raised that more than the guy's whole salary increase. Because people have been down so long that it doesn't even, you can't even use percentages. I mean, that $10 an hour needs to be like 17, just to pick people up to where it was 5 or 6 years ago. But anyway, what most people are saying is, on the low end, percentage-wise, because of a lot of minimum wage increases, which is a lot of it, some of it's demand. I mean, if you're in a restaurant.
I think more of it is demand. Actually, I think more of it is demand than minimum wage, but I don't have the stats to back that up. Minimum wage increases are, you know, of course, would help, but they aren't across the board, and in many cases, They've caused jobs to be eliminated. We've seen some, you know, we've seen some of the low-end jobs shrink and get replaced by automation. So there's kind of a wash factor in there that that applies to minimum wage. So I think it's too easy to just chalk up a significant amount of it to minimum wage without more research.
Yeah, but you don't count the guy who got fired, right?
Well, it depends. If that person, gets fired, it depends on what that person does.
But I'm saying if he goes on long-term disability or something, that's not counted anywhere. But
it's
not
counted anywhere, but on the other hand, if he goes and gets a factory job and starts making 15 or 16 or 17 bucks an hour, because I didn't want to work in a factory before because I was working a minimum wage job but getting tips and not reporting them. Where were the minimum wage jobs? Typically in the food service business.
Oh, they're all over.
More likely than anything else, because we saw independently, not driven by minimum wage increases. We saw places like big employers like Walmart just raising their base rate, to like 11 bucks an hour instead of minimum wage.
Well, okay, well, that's you're agreeing with what I'm saying is. Somewhere in the last 5 years.
No, I'm never going to agree with you, Tom.
That's true.
Just don't ever say that.
Somewhere in the last 5 years, the people down to the $8.50, $9 number. Okay. So some combination of increased demand, which we both agree with, and increased minimum wage. Those people have been pushed, most of them from $8.50 to $9.50, probably to more like 10.5 and 11. So in a percentage terms, they're probably up 15-20%, right? But they're also up $2.
What's the other phenomenon that you've seen with minimum wage workers?
No, what I'm saying is when
wages got increased, how many people got their hours cut?
Well, they get their hours. It depends on the place.
So their total earnings were down.
Well, that the other phenomenon there was they don't want to give people any benefits. So that as to why people get their hours cut, how much of it is not wanting to give benefits versus not wanting them there, I don't know.
Yeah, but that's been gone now for a couple of years, the employer mandate. But yes, it was absolutely true in the years after 2010 when Obamacare passed, because, everybody was working two part-time jobs because nobody would hire full-time.
Right. Well, then the Walmart phenomenon, and I'm sure there's other places where if it's slow on a Thursday, they just tell people don't come in on a Friday. So you're not guaranteed the... you and I is at our age.
Probably a bad choice of days, but yeah.
Well, okay, but I'm saying is you and I.
Well, Friday's a busy day for them, I'm pretty sure.
But mentally, you and I immediately go, 11 bucks an hour, okay, that's $440 a week, but it's not working for these guys like that, right? Well, what I'm saying is the percentage-wise, the people on the upper end seems to be doing pretty well. The people on the lower end, except for the taxes hitting them, the people on the lower end, it's the guys in the middle. It's almost like a barbell. There's no way people making 40, 45, 50 have gotten 10, 15, 20% raises.
Yeah, and I agree with you there. And that's even the most optimistic stats are showing that the low-end wages are increasing. And a lot of that really is because there's so many jobs unfilled, they're actually bidding them up. But especially for people who are already working, they have no problem finding another job because always the easiest way to find a job is to have one. It helps a lot rather than just being hired off the unemployment rolls. So, you are seeing that on the low end, but you're right. We're not seeing a lot of movement in the middle, and that should be an ongoing cause for concern. It's something that needs to be addressed.
Well, and I guess my. The point that I keep having trouble making, yet I can see it plain as day, is I was reading some stuff the other day, and a listener sent it to me, and had to do with, we only got a minute here, but had to do with somebody going to the emergency room. Some lady was at one of Matt Weber's parties, and she was trashed and hit her knee and had to go get 3 stitches or something. Not Matt Weber's. Somebody like him, had a party.
I always have medical staff on hand.
Well, it was her bill for three... her bill for 3 stitches.
That sounds like parties worth attending if you need medical staff.
The only guy keeping the place together is the dog Venkman herding people to make sure they don't fall off the balcony.
That's right.
But I'm saying her bill was like $2,400. It was like 800 hours a stitch. Well, how the hell can that be? So I'm saying the relationship of what people are paying in some areas if you don't have insurance versus the poor guy's making the $10 an hour that used to be $8.50. Still, it's what? It's 240 hours work for that? And what are we talking about? For somebody to spend an hour on you? S&P futures up 675, Dow futures up 65. I'm saying, Kevin, we're our numbers have gotten so skewed you can't even really use them almost. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. Mr. Kevin O'Neill with us as well. SP Futures up 675. NASDAQ futures up 2750. Individual stocks in the Dow, Boeing's up 271. It was up a bunch yesterday, too. So it's up to 320. Got down to like 305, 306, which actually David said he thought would be a good spot for a short-term buy. I hope he did, because it's up about $15. I don't know how much further it can sail here, because they still, I think they have all kinds of problems continuing with that thing, although it's hard to quantify. Microsoft up 92 cents. Other than that, nothing really crazy up in the Dow. Actually, American Express had earnings. They had good earnings last night. They're up 313. And Intel had pretty good earnings. They're up 323. So both of the earnings plays did well this morning. And those are what's moving the Dow right now. Around the rest of the world, again, we've been quiet in Europe, as you can recall. DAX over, not quiet today. It's up 194, 1.4%. The market really turned yesterday, and the WHO said no global emergency yet for the China virus. I don't know that that's exactly what moved the market, but if you look at the string of news yesterday, that came out right about the same time the market rallied from really down 20 in the S&Ps to up maybe 2, so it basically got us back to even. FTSE up 121, 1.6%, CAC round up 61, that's a full 1%. Over in Asia, somewhat of a bounce back. Actually, they can't, the Shanghai, now these guys are closed from today through next week, so we can't be given the Shanghai numbers. Nikkei up 31.1%, Hang Seng up 40.1%. We can't give the Shanghai numbers because there aren't any. How's that? Bonds, 1.74 in the 10-year. The Bund, minus 0.29. Japanese, still minus 0.02. So, not much movement there. Oil down another 11 cents, 55.48. Brent down 19 cents, 61.85. This oil is just, virtually everybody, every one of the prognosticators on CNBC said this year's going to be the year these oil stocks make their big bounce. They're bouncing, all right. They're bouncing down around all. Every one of them is down like 8 to 10% on the year. Natural gas, 188. That is unbelievable. RBOB, 156. We got gold retreating a little bit here as well, down 7. Silver, 1550. Hanging in there. Silver, 1781. So not much retreat there at all. But they've stopped railing, at least for the time. Maddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports. Not much sports.
Not much. Coming up on 37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a very good start on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. In spite of wet conditions, no issues at all coming in on the Edens or Kennedy. Eisenhower still looking good. Stevenson traffic building around Cicero, but nothing of note to report. Southside expressways have looked good all morning. Lakeshore Drive's quiet in both directions. And even off the expressways, no reports of any sort of spin outs or fender benders or anything. So everyone's off to a good start here on a Friday. That's good news. The weather, not such good news. We'll have precipitation on and off throughout the day today, rain and snow mix, a high of 37. And then tonight, depending upon how cool it gets, we're supposed to get some heavy volume of precipitation that could be 3 to 6 inches of snow if it's, 32 or below. But if it stays above 32, it's going to be a wet, kind of nasty slush sleet mix. So keep that in mind. That's in the evening hours and overnight tonight. And you should wake up. It's going to be wet when you wake up on Saturday. Whether it's snow or rain, we'll find out. Right now it's overcast and 35, going up to a wet high of 37. For our Phoenix listeners, they don't have to deal with any of this, Chief. Partly cloudy skies with a high of 72. Right now it's clear and 46. In sports, as mentioned, quiet night last night. Bulls and Suns were both off. The Bulls return to action tonight as Sacramento comes to town. That's a 7 p.m. tip-off at the United Center. Suns are at San Antonio tonight. 6:30 p.m. Arizona time tip for Suns versus Spurs. And the NHL All-Star Weekend puck drops tonight in St. Louis. The skills competition featuring star Blackhawks player Patrick Kane will take place tonight. Chief.
This would be a perfect sports report for our girl AV. Tom, no sports.
Yeah, pretty much. I could have said that. I could have just done that and been done in 2 seconds.
Bulls and all the other animals, all nothing, she'd say. Bulls, Pistons, whoever else is out there, nothing.
You gotta love the Pistons.
Oh, yeah, the Pistons was a. I don't have a car. How should I know? You know, she has a point there.
Fair point.
Fair point. So we have, like I said, earnings have been pretty good. They're coming from a low base. They're really not much up from last year. And, we have the politics. We have the stuff going on in China. There's all kinds of things going on. But like I say, if you go back through all your your Fed actions for the last 35 years and you put a market on top of it, you can pretty much predict, in retrospect, virtually every rally and every sell-off. And it's because the Milton Friedmanites of the world, in one man's opinion, said that Fed's job is to keep the money supply going at 3 to 3.5 to 3.75, which is a hard enough job, just do that. And Kevin, for 40 years, they've done everything but that. It's either too fast, then you got to pull it back to where it's too slow, and then you go into some kind of recession, then it's too fast again. I don't think it's ever been 3.5% growth. It's either 8 or 2 or 1.
So it's like riding in a car with a driver who speeds up to 5 miles over the speed limit, hits the brakes, drops to 5 miles underneath it, hits the accelerator.
Yeah, why don't they just try it?
And then every once in a while, hits the brakes too hard or hits the accelerator too hard.
Yeah, I mean, and you when the market's going down because there's money coming out of the system, and people try and find reasons why the market's going down with the stocks and everything. And now people every day spend their whole day on national TV telling you why this stock should go up and that go up. I mean, and really what you're looking for is individual areas that maybe haven't participated and pile in there. But that's been a zero-sum game for a long time. You were mentioning me earlier. There was the rally, I'm going to say 4 or 5 years ago. It was easy in that rally, Kevin, easier in the sense that if you saw, I'll use something like your stocks in a certain industry move forward. If you looked around after a couple of months, you'd see areas that maybe were lagging, and you'd invest in the lagging areas, and they would catch up. But now we have this is not catching up. I mean, a lot of things aren't. I mean, nobody's going to catch up with these insurance and medical companies. I mean, they're making so much money, Kevin. It's the dreams of avarice, and
Yeah, I still think, though, that if you project out on 5 years on that, I still think you're going to start seeing the different models that are out there now start to get much more traction just because of that, just because, the bloat, the inefficiency, and the expense of dealing with them, of all these, insurance companies primarily. I just think you're going to see many more people in the business of actually delivering care rather than paying for care. I think we're just going to see a lot of them are going to opt out of the old way of doing it and get into new ways.
It's
no different. It's like every other industry. You know, we saw in our lifetime we saw Blockbuster come and go because there became better ways to deliver the same product.
How can I say this nicely to you? You're showing your age, because I feel the same way. Now, my question to you, since you've been quizzing me, is I agree with you 100%. Question is, why hasn't it happened?
Why hasn't it happened?
I think what we have in front of us is you are absolutely correct, my friend, in that if Chief and Kevin owned a saloon and we realized that it's we're 5 miles from the nearest saloon, and everybody else is $3 with a beer, we probably can get away with 3.25, maybe 3.5, especially if we got nice TVs. But if we go 5, there's going to be a number at which somebody's going to go, hey, there's no other saloon around here except for these two mopes, and they're charging way too much. I can put one up and charge 4, and I can make a lot of dough at 4. Then that's what competition all over the place is supposed to do, right? And that's why the person who has a unique either location or a unique product never screws people as much as he possibly could in the short term because of the price, because you don't want to lure somebody else into the business. And if the beer is a quarter higher, the guy's going to say the hell with it. If it's $2 higher, he might say, that's my business, right? I mean, we've known this really all the way in our businesses, because we're both in competitive businesses. Now, you look at healthcare and you look at some of these other areas, why hasn't it? If it happens in the next 5 years, I'll submit to you it's 20 years after it should have. Why is it in some areas they reach a size to where they can buffalo government, to where they get their head basically up the ass of government, and they can buffalo the legal system, they can buffalo everything, and not even tell you the price, like the medical community. That's going to be, I mean, Trump lobbed that one out there 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago, and I applaud him. That's going to be, if he gets elected again, he'll still be fighting it when he's out in 5 years. It'll still be in the courts, whether you can force somebody. I'm saying, once you get to that level, Kevin, it's not as simple as you and I opening up another saloon.
It isn't, and that's part of why it takes so long to change. But most of the time, when you see an industry go through a radical change, it happens very, very slowly, and then all of a sudden.
The overnight sensation.
You know, and we've seen it in so many industries over your lifetime and mine, that's what sort of tells me it will happen. Once there's better alternatives, they start to take hold. You go through that typical early adopter model, and then all of a sudden, everybody catches on and says, okay, here we go.
We have an election coming up, and we have various and sundry people running on the one side and one person running on the other side, which is sort of like it was last time. I mean, you had Hillary really going to be anointed on the one side, and you had all the Republicans lining up on the other side. And everybody talked about medical care. The only one I thought that made any sense was the guy from Ohio. But now we're doing it again. But now, not one person, Kevin, just had the conversation you and I had. And in every place I am, be it a dinner somewhere where people are over, birthday, library, bar, everybody will fight over who's supposed to pay. Government, Obamacare sucks, this sucks, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't dawn on virtually anybody in the room that the problem is not who's paying for it. The problem is that $5,000 or $6,000 MRI should be $500. That's the problem. And if we don't find a way to get...
But you know what, Tom? You're seeing that now. You are seeing, MRIs is a good example, where all of a sudden you can go places and get MRIs now, and you can get them much cheaper. It's still baked into the insurance equation and negotiated rates and all that as soon as you show your insurance card. But it's starting to resemble, like LASIK was. Remember when LASIK was expensive? Now it's dirt cheap because
LASIK was never covered.
Starting to see that in other places.
I'm going to say LASIK was never covered, and that's a big difference.
No, it never was, which is why it was competitive.
Right. But
what I'm saying is you're starting to see other services, and MRI is a good example that resemble that.
What I'm saying is that this is an agreement discussion. I'm going to say it may be up to, because somebody like you or somebody like me may actually seek that place out. I'm going to say in 2 years, Kevin, it's 1% of medical care. Cleveland Clinic.
And in 5 years, it'll be 51%.
But I'm saying, I don't think at 21% a year, I don't know if we have 5 years. That's my concern. Cleveland Clinic used to run ads here in Chicago regarding MRIs. Come to our place, and it was like $400. Okay, and Cleveland Clinic obviously is a terrific place, so it's not like you're worried about the quality. They stopped running them. Now, if they stop running them because they're full, I'll be happy. If they stop running them because nobody showed up, I'm not so happy. Now, the question is, what would possess somebody who either, not that anybody I know is on Medicare, but would possess somebody on Medicare or somebody who has this insurance that they think should be paying for everybody to say, I mean, say you're in the city, you're at Northwestern, and they go, all right, because this happened to me once, you need an MRI for X, and where can I get it? Well, Northwestern does them on Saturday morning. You don't have to miss a day at work. So I made my appointment at, 7:30 on a Saturday morning, and off I went. God knows how much it costs, Kevin. No, and I didn't hear about any of these other ones before that. I thought they were all the same. This is, it's 10 years ago. But now if there's one out in Oak Lawn, it's a Cleveland Clinic or someplace. I don't know that's where they're located. It's $500 because you and I have talked about it, and because I think the system right now is broken. I'll do that just out of spite, but I don't gain anything by it, right?
It's like me. It's like me. How much I'll go out of my way to save 2 cents a gallon on gas?
Yeah, but I mean, well, we'll do it out of spite. And we understand that people like us doing that will change the system. But what difference does it make to me? I didn't save anything. And that's the problem. People look at insurance company money like they're spending other people's money. when my mom had the lung cancer, and she's, you know, going downhill, and that, what's that, that crap that was out, the drug that was looking for a disease, that Avastin, it never really worked on anything. And the guy says to my mom, he goes, well, we can put you on this Avastin. And she goes, well, he goes, it's not covered by Medicare, but it's $2,500 a week. And she goes, well, does it work? And he said, it'll probably, if you're going to die anyway, it'll give you 2 extra weeks. And she goes, so let me get this straight. It doesn't even work. You might give me 2 extra weeks and you want 40 yeah. grand. And the guy goes,
Wait a minute. Next question. How much can I party in those 2 weeks?
Yeah. You know, my mom was not a dumb lady. She goes,
can I get my money's worth?
I mean, if you tell me it's $2,500 for 2 weeks and I'm cured, I'm in. But if it doesn't even do me any good, it's $2,500. What's the point? You know, I mean, but this whole system, you don't think that the people going to, let's start from the beginning. You know, Maddie knows because he's listening to me ad nauseum, what an overhead rate is. What do you suppose the overhead rate is in an emergency room? Like the thing the person sent me the other day about the lady, 3 stitches, and what's the glue they use now instead of they put on a skin?
Like super glue or crazy glue. Yeah.
3 stitches and the glue is $2,400. I'm going to say that the person in the emergency room doctor sewing her up, I don't think those guys make more than $1.50 a year. Do you?
If you're in it, if you're serving your, what do they call it? Is it an internship or whatever?
No,
they
man,
call
but
it.
Some of those guys, they're people that just want to be emergency room
yeah,
guys. They want to make
it's
150
slave labor,
grand.
Though, until you yeah. become, the full, you get the white coat and get to own it.
But all your insurance is on them. You know, in a lot of places, a lot of guys will moonlight at night. Doctors, they'll do that on a weekend and whatever. My point is, so 150 grand divided by how many days is that going to be? It's how much a day? It's 1,000 hours a day. The guy makes not even $900 a day, $800 a day. If I do my math right, all right. So he works on somebody for half hour to put the 3 stitches. I have no idea how long to put stitches in. 3 stitches. So the guy can do 10 of those a day, 15 of those a day. What's the overhead rate? 1,000%. I mean,
it's huge. Whatever yeah. it is, it's a really big number. And yes, I'd love to see the calculation.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. What do you even? How do you? I mean, I've told people before. I had a heart rhythm problem that they fixed with this catheter ablation years ago. So thank God for medicine. So you're never going to get me. But I was in there 8.5 hours. The first bill the insurance company got was like 120 grand, and they knocked it down. Who knows what they ended up paying? And I'm sitting there going, okay, there are 5 people in the room. Now here's the big shot. So say he's making $1 million a year. Let me pay him for the whole day. Okay, which it wasn't the whole day for him because he kept going in and out. There's another guy, he's making, $500,000 a year. I'm inflating these numbers, I'm sure. And at the end of the day, Kevin, I said if I paid everybody in there's whole thing for the day and another 10 grand for the lab, I was up to maybe 30,000. Where'd they get the 120? was it a 400% overhead? For what? I'm talking about if I would have paid every single person for the whole day. The 2 nurses and the 3 guys wandering in and out. The machine, which I'm sure is a lot of money. I mean, I didn't come anywhere close to 100 grand. I mean, how do you even...
And yet there was the bill.
And it was a sad story, but the two, what do you call conjoined twins?
Conjoined twins.
Well, there's a name for it. Siamese, right?
That's
generally conjoined is what they use.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. It used to be a different term. But anyway,
Siamese is the impolitic way of saying.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then the kids were here in a hospital in a Catholic hospital, and the Catholic hospital wouldn't operate on them, and because one of them was going to die. There was only one heart or one liver or something. So they wouldn't operate because they were going to end up with a death. So they moved the kids to Pittsburgh, and they did this 24-hour operation. And I don't know if people had insurance or whatever, but there was this massive call to people.
Was it Ben Carson that did that, by the way?
Oh, I don't
know. I think it was.
Maybe, but there was this massive call for people to pony up money. Because the hospital, in the first week, they had ponied up, the bill was like $1.5 million. Now, the intelligence and the dedication and all that stuff to do something like that, my hat's off to these people and whatever. You know, I'll genuflect in front of them to be able to save people like that, the knowledge they have and the training. But, hey, come on. Those people are all on staff. You didn't pay them a bonus, right? So even if you had the five guys who operated on the kids for 24 hours, even if they're all making $2 million a year, what does that come down to for 24 hours, even with overtime? Look at the entire operating staff. You pay for the entire wing of the hospital. You're not even close to $1.5 million in 4 days, Kevin. I mean, where do these numbers come from?
They come from it's your damn cost accounts that do this
yes.
stuff.
You know, let's wing in the cost of the guy's private jet. These people are already there, right?
Because then you get into billing rates of the specialists and so on, and of course you go back to the insurance model, and it still winds up being, well, what did we negotiate with the insurance company? So the way it generally works for a lot of these doctors is, and you know, let's bring it back away from those huge numbers to what people encounter on a regular basis. They submit a higher bill to the insurance company to see what it will pay, and then when it comes back and says, well, I'm only going to pay 80% of that, then they adjust it. But there is nothing that is saying, here's a market price, and that's what I'm going to charge, and that's it. What they're really saying is, I'm going to charge whatever I can get away with charging.
It almost seems, Kevin, and this, as you know, I'm very much abhorrent about government doing anything and doing it well. But I'm not so sure that government can't do some things well. I almost think in some of these industries that are so concentrated that you almost need, for instance, like a county hospital, which has, or University of Illinois hospitals, they actually have some of these satellite places. They actually maybe finance one of them for them so you could see the books and actually have a spot where they'll do stitches for people, they'll take temperatures, they'll do throat cultures. And there's a lot of those places popping up. And what it actually costs in an efficient manner to do that. I mean, what can you and I do for, you know, three stitches from the girl from Maddie Weber's party? You know, can we do them for $500? I mean, I don't even know if there's a market price for this stuff there because these guys have usurped the numbers for so long.
I mean, I don't know what you've observed in the Chicago area, but around here there were, there was a flurry of immediate care type of places that popped up, after Obamacare. It's one of the few things that I would acknowledge was good about it is that it changed that model a little bit so that people could walk in. You didn't have to go through a primary care physician or anything like that to get the services you need, and you didn't have to go to the emergency room either. So that was a little more competitively priced because you had so many people who couldn't, you know, with the high deductibles that, you know, the routine care got driven to that. And that was a good thing, but that's why I'm saying out of that is evolving, you know, different models for people because, you know, they are finding that competitive pricing works and it can be good business.
Well, I mean, I
think, you know, slowly and then suddenly.
Well, there's
a way to expect it to happen.
And so it's sort of like when I critique myself and say to make a long story short, then I go too late. I'll say the same things happen in education, Kevin. I mean, the Notre Dame, if we pick on him, we both went there, arts and letters degree that's now $65,000 a year. You know, we could steal one of these old Chicago Board of Education buildings, put 10 people in there. You, Eric, and a couple of economics guys, some of the best teachers we have, I'll bet we can do it for 10, maybe 8. Because we'll pay the guys just as much as they're paying them in Notre Dame or Northwestern. Now, maybe over the next 10 years, now you're not going to get accredited because we're not going to accredit those places, right? Because why would we do that? We want everybody going to Notre Dame and Northwestern. I mean, maybe you and I are right and the economy will work its way back that way. The economics will work. But God, we've lost 2 decades and how many bazillion dollars? I mean, however it happens, if it happens tomorrow, it's not fast enough. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
I'm seeing that on the education side. And just to give you an example, where I work, now for statewide, all of the online courses have gotten centralized. So I won't have an online course with 8 people in it. I'll have an online course with 28 people in it because it's statewide. They just take all the enrollments and then they apportion them out to the people who want to teach those kind of courses. And you know, as a result, it's much more economical and helps us keep the credit hour price down. So we charge, I think it's like $148 a credit hour. So, you know, that might still be considered high for a course to pay $650, $640-something for a course. But it's way cheaper than, most major universities.
I don't disagree with what I'm saying.
And so, again, market is pushing us that way because there are people who are looking for much more economical ways to get a quality education.
Well, I guess my final statement is when the place you're bucking up against, the market is bucking up against, is the industry that somehow found their head up the government's ass, it's harder and harder to fight them.
Oh, yeah. And it's only changing some places because the state governments are a little more thoughtful, and some are better. And obviously, as we know, some are way better than others.
That's true, Kevin. Thank you very much. Good stuff. SP futures up 750. We've been right here all morning. We're back, Mr. Wayne Matson. We'll find out what's going on in Washington. This should be interesting.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including 4 past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering 3 research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top 3 tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than 3 decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at ptisecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@ptisecurities.com. That's john@ptisecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Hollies, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P Futures up 8 now, NASDAQ Futures up 30. Been right around here all morning. Is Wayne wearing a mask in Washington, worried about the virus?
Well, I mean, it's there's a lot of viruses that are seem to be going around right now. One is, I would say, is the virus of total ignorance by the Republican senators in the Senate. Like, they're, you know, wanting to go out and chat and have coffee and whatever, under penalty of jail. That's what the Chief Justice told them. It tells them every morning when they sit, but when they were sworn in. Apparently the Chief Justice doesn't carry much weight.
I'm going to say you were probably right about that. I think you should have run.
I remember Chief Justices like Warren Burger. Well, I didn't, you know, he was a Nixon appointee, but, you know, later he really became quite a voice. He never, of course, handled impeachment. He may have he may have handled a few for some federal judges, but, you know, those, the federal bench, like the Senate, just doesn't, they don't have the, they don't have the gravitas that they once had. I understand that this hillbilly Tom Cotton from Arkansas, he's sitting there playing with one of those finger widgets that were big a few years back. So he's totally bored. I guess he doesn't understand, you know, discussions about the Constitution.
I don't. I especially like the part where the maybe Manny Weber can help us here. How you're not supposed to have a phone, but a lot of the guys got their Apple Watch, which kind of does the same thing.
Yes, yes, they, you know, the senators remind me of, you know, kids in school that used to try to, you know, get around the rules, you know, and they come up with these ingenious ways. Well, you know, this isn't technically against the rules, you know, I see a lot of that at play with what used to be considered the one of the most esteemed, although it, you know, debating society, but, you know, there's only 100 of them. But I, as one former senator told me once, he said, you got to understand something about these people in the Senate, including myself when I was there. He said, every morning they wake up, look in the mirror, and they see the next president of the United States.
Yeah.
So a lot of it's vanity.
The, you know, we
that's
just,
what Chief sees when he looks in the mirror.
Yeah, too. President of what? I think I got my new job, though. I can run for it. The coyote catcher.
Yeah, Cook County coyote catcher.
Yeah, we had one coyote we had to catch. We caught him. Or somebody caught him. Of course, he was limping.
These aren't the same coyotes, of course, that Trump keeps complaining about on the border.
No.
The ones that
these are real coyote. You
real coyotes.
What, you know, sort of what I've noticed sometimes is when people get higher up into spots in some of the higher-end traders and so forth, and some of the antics that they would use, it almost like they revert to being on the playground to a certain extent. And it wouldn't surprise me that senators, some of them do the same thing. I mean,
and
it's
Marsha Blackburn. She, of course, she not only left the Senate, but she went across over to the Fox studio and appeared on Fox. I mean, she was caught red-handed because, you know, a few people noticed including Senator Schumer, is, wait a minute, we were in session, and here she is on over there in Fox, you know, making all kinds of inane criticisms.
Well, I'm curious as how, if you weren't, how do you take the oath? I'm sure, you know, that's not just the Republican side. I mean, it's not like the Republicans are going to call a witness and the Democratic guy is going to change his mind either. I mean, how do you yeah. sit there and tell people you're going to... we had this kind of discussion the other day, Wayne, and I don't know who was on, Maddie, but we were having a kind of a debate. It might have been Lou. And I said, Lou, we're going to lose an attorney. I said, Lou, around this country today, how many places... in this country, are people being sworn in today as jurors, arbitrators,
and not only sworn in but sequestered?
Yeah, everybody being sworn in, and there's a certain decorum, there's a certain way, and these are just regular schlump citizens. They're not right. senators. And I'm going to say in 99.9% of the cases, the people do exactly what they're supposed to do. They listen as fair as they can. They come from different walks of life. That's the whole idea. They listen, you know, as boring as some of it can be. They listen as best they can. They don't fall asleep. They don't, and they try and do a good job. And if a judge says don't leave the room, they don't.
Yeah.
And these are the guys that are supposed to be leading us, and they can't. You wouldn't put them on a dog bite jury.
No, and if a jury decided to do that, there'd be an immediate request for a jury nullification. If, you know, say the jury foreman said, hey, I got to go meet a buddy of mine, cross over to Starbucks, I'll be back later. I mean, right there, you'd have somebody standing up, either the prosecution or the defense, say, wait a minute, you know, this thing, and, you know, somebody pointed out that Judge Roberts, that he hadn't decided to be an indoor plant, and he actually exercised his authority as Simon Chase did, the Chief Justice, during the Andrew Johnson trial, that he could say to all those Republicans who are leaving, look, you're off the jury. You're as far as you're concerned, I'm nullifying your presence here, and the Constitution says to remove a president, convict and remove, it only takes 2/3 of the senators present.
Okay.
Not 2/3 of the 100 senators.
So you don't need 67 votes. If there's 60 people there, you need 40 votes.
Yeah, it's you know, say you got rid of, you know, the Chief Justice said, okay, you 20 senators that have been over on Fox, you know, joking around in the cloakroom, running down to the cafeteria to get a bowl of Jell-O. You're off the jury. You violated your oath, and then you possibly, if you had the 2/3 rule, you could have enough votes to convict and remove Trump.
What I mentioned on the air all the time, which doesn't make it gospel or anything, but Matty always is, I always look to him because he used to be young, now he's just younger than me, by a lot. I don't understand how I could see people pulling this crap in 1932 when nobody's ever gonna, of course there wouldn't be a Fox to go over to in 1932, but I'm going to say in 1932, you went to the bar and you had a snootful at lunch because you couldn't stand the boring testimony, and you come back. The chances of you being found out in your home state of North Dakota is like, you know, peeing in a lake. It ain't going to happen. But right now today, how does this lady go over to Fox and not understand that everybody in the country is going to know she's not supposed to leave, and she haughtily walks out, goes over there, sits her butt down, comes back without paying it? I mean, don't they even realize that there's some sort of an example here? There's something going on. I mean, Matty, you explain this. How is it that they think they're not going to be, quote, caught, or they don't care? I'm dying to find out what the mentality is on it. I
remember when I first began covering Congress. I mean, there were people on both parties that I considered, wow, these people are kind of legendary in their own right, and they don't exist anymore. Of course, uh, I, with when I had my congressional press pass, the back of it was signed by a Democratic senator from Kentucky. Yeah, they actually existed once.
Yeah.
Walter D. Huddleston was his name. And but you look around the Senate now and you see this guy Rand Paul, who apparently doesn't, I understand he cuts his own hair. He doesn't believe in going to a barber, and it shows. He looks like he just got out of bed.
Yeah.
I look around at some of this. Marsha Blackburn, apparently she tweeted out something about this witness, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, the guy who has a Purple Heart from Iraq, and basically called him a traitor to his country. And I look at Marsha Blackburn, I don't see any military record with her. I don't think her kids went in the military, and I think during the inauguration, I read that she was partying with some members of a neo-Nazi party. So, I guess you get what you pay for. I'm just surprised at Tennessee that gave us people like Howard Baker and Al Gore now, present the country with somebody like Marsha Blackburn. It's amazing. I mean, like I say, I don't see the likes of Ted Kennedy anymore. Everett Dirksen, these major players you could disagree with them, but they were, basically well respected around the country, and not to mention in their own states.
Well, I mean, the string of people we had here, since I remember from my youth, I don't know that there was a clunker. I mean, I think when I was really young, it was.
No, I remember talking to Paul Simon. What an intelligent, thoughtful.
Oh God, yeah.
Guy. Now I'm a little biased. He used to be. He had been a journalist before he was in the Senate, but I really felt bad. I had a very great conversation. He gave me his card, and then he died a week later. I said, "Geez, I hope hope it wasn't anything I said." But they just don't. I just remember conversations with people, as senators, with current and former Pat Leahy, who's still representing Vermont. I've been the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee at one time. George McGovern. These people were, it made you feel good. You thought, well, I might not agree with everything they say, but these guys really know what's going on. I say, guy, there were a few women too, who I thought were, giants in the Senate.
Well, Illinois had a string.
Some still are.
I don't remember them all, but I'm going to say when I was very young, it was Paul Douglas and Everett Dirksen.
Yeah.
And even though they were an opposite on virtually every subject, I think they got along very well, and they did a lot of stuff for Illinois because they realized they came together for that for sure.
Sure.
And then you followed up with Charles Percy, who had been a chairman of Bell and Howell, brilliant man. I don't think he might have been two terms because he was a little older. And then you had Paul Simon for a long time, who, like I say, I mean, he, when he retired, when he started teaching school in some, it was Eastern Illinois or someplace way down in the state. I'm going to ask you this, we've kicked this around how many times, Matty, but when I was a Ute, my buddy who knew all about this stuff back in the day told me that it's very, very difficult, especially for a rep, because it's a horrible job. At those times, and we're talking 1970-something, he said those guys are making like 25, 35 grand a year, expect to keep two houses, or sleep in their office or whatever, like the guy in Wisconsin did. He said they're way behind in terms of their lifestyle, anything, family, with owning a house, the whole bit, than anybody else in their law school class that went to work for a regular firm or just did a regular legal work. That you had to put everything you in trust. There was you couldn't manage any of this stuff, a la Cheney and his stock portfolio. And now all of a sudden, all you read about is, the reason for presidential pensions. Wasn't that Hoover pushed that through because Truman was broke, as I recall, because Hoover didn't need the money and Roosevelt was dead. So the only guy you really were worried about was Truman, and he never made any money in the Senate or anything. He was that straight. And now all you hear about are these people. Now I'll forget the ones with the books, because I understand you can make some money on books, but how the hell are these people making these millions of dollars in the Senate and the House? I mean, you're not supposed to have a stock portfolio that you trade, and you don't make a spot. You make $250,000 a year. I mean, that's not, I'd love to have that as a salary, but my point is, where is all this money coming from now, and how are these guys worth millions and millions more than they went in there this way?
Well, these days it takes millions to run for the Senate.
I'm not talking about the campaign fund.
A lot of them already have, they're already wealthy. I think that says a lot about our political system.
But a lot of them weren't. I mean, what's her name? Didn't have any money when she was in there. I don't think Harry Reid had any money when he was a freshman. I'm saying they're coming out of there with millions more than they started. I mean, some of it, I know they're getting stuff. By the way, how does your best buddy McConnell, how does his wife come off unscathed on this Wells Fargo crap?
You mean the dragon lady?
Wasn't she the board, the head of the board, net compensation committee, the behavior, what do they call it? What's the committee on the board that, we used to have one on the CBOE that's in charge of, not corruption, but, the make sure everybody behaves committee, the double secret one.
You mean the House?
No, I'm talking about any corporate board now has a little side group, a semi group.
Oh, is this the due diligence people?
Well, no, but there's a name for it. I'm going brain dead. Maybe look up somebody's board. Wasn't she the chairman of, Everybody Behave Committee? Like Big Jim Thompson was. Well, Big Jim Thompson was for Hollinger, and the guy went to jail.
Oh, right, Conrad Black.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, how is she not involved in this Wells Fargo? I mean, you don't normally go after board members, but why doesn't somebody even mention it?
Well, she's got relatives who are, apparently heavily invested in Chinese shipping companies that have been, some of which have been, tied in with human trafficking and other unsavory business practices.
Well, this whole board, what's her name, Wendy Graham, was the same spot she had for Enron? Good Lord. how could you possibly do a worse job?
Well, like I say, this is a different kettle of fish these days. I don't see much in the way of any type of statesmanship left in the Senate, and very, very little, if any, in the House.
But I guess my question to you is have there been any specific rule changes that somehow allow somebody to, I understand the political action committees and the campaign funds, to personally end up with $5 million or $10 million more than they went in there 6 years ago? I don't see how that could possibly happen, given the rules that I know them to be. And they must have changed, the only thing I'm saying.
Well, I imagine so. I mean, I remember back in the late 90s, and I didn't like John Ashcroft, but when he was a senator from Missouri, I was asked by somebody, I had to take my journalism hat off. Somebody said, "Hey, listen, this guy Ashcroft, we actually agree with him on something very important. We hear he's running for president." And they wanted me to just deliver a message that they were good for $500,000 for his presidential campaign. I delivered the message, but his aide said, "Look, we definitely cannot meet in his Senate office. Let's meet at the Monocle, which is this highbrow hangout for senators and other politicos near the Senate." So he was very conscious of the rules back then.
Wasn't he the guy who lost to the dead guy in the governor's race?
Yeah, that's him.
Manny, how would you like to do that?
How would I like to lose to a dead guy?
No, yeah. Mel Carnahan.
Probably wouldn't feel great.
He was running against a guy.
He still won, though, right?
No, he was running against a guy.
Yeah.
And the guy croaks.
He died in an airplane crash.
Yeah, he croaks, and they end up, his wife ran and he lost to the guy's wife, didn't he?
Yeah.
How low is that? Of course, my last, get a load of this, you know, in full disclosure, my last term for the board I ran and lost, and the guy I lost to is now in jail. So how does that make me feel? He's over here right on Van Buren, Matty.
Jeez.
Yeah. How would that make you feel? The guy you lost to is a crook. God. But you know, stuff happens. So.
I'd actually feel good about that.
I lost to a crook? Yeah.
Well, that they made a decision so poor.
Yeah.
By voting against me, they put a criminal in there.
Yeah. I'd love to find out someday how they make. I mean, there are some book deals going around. I know there's some stuff, but. I mean, when we were on the board over here, we would have guys come in pretty much anytime somebody was in town. There was this young lady, gotta forget her name, but she, one of the nicest, smartest, she was a political operative of some kind. I don't know how you even get Amy something something. When somebody was in town, she'd know Tom Foley was in town. So you have Tom Foley came over to breakfast with all the, you know, people on the board and some of the market makers. Up and have breakfast. It was pretty neat getting to meet these guys. They'd come in, they'd sit down, they'd give you a 5-minute spiel, but then you could basically ask them all the questions you wanted, you know, sitting in a room. And I mean, most of everybody who came in, this is in the 90s, I'm going to say I was pretty impressed with virtually all of them, Wayne, and Tom Foley for sure. And you could give them, you give them scrambled eggs, okay, and a cup of coffee. I think the max you could give them was $1,000. It might even have been $500.
There's supposed to be strict limits on gifts to members of Congress. I remember at one point in time, the way they said it, you could give them a pen, certainly not a Mont Blanc, but one of those you get at these trade shows. You know, they're not worth maybe a penny, but there was a time, especially after the whole Rostenkowski House Post Office scandal, where they really cracked down. But I don't think those. I think they kind of look the other way these days. Because look who you got running the show.
Well, but I mean, I actually thought that when the guy shows up, he had usually maybe one or two aides. They didn't have some huge security or anything like that. Tom Foley didn't, and you know, three people he come and sit down, and if he made the stop to four or five places, got $1,000 a pop, you know, barely paid for the guy's trip. I can't imagine you're buying off Tom Foley for $1,000. I mean,
that takes real money.
Yeah, that would take real money. You know, so I mean, in my estimation, whoever was running that show, to me, it looked like it worked, because I think you should be able to. Why shouldn't you sit down with people at the Board of Trade or the CBOE or the Plumbers Union or whoever and find, okay, what exactly is going on with you guys? What are your concerns? It was funny, but of course, everybody in the room is a Republican but me, right? And that's back when I was a Democrat. And one guy goes, you know, I don't understand why the federal government doesn't do more with this education stuff. And Foley goes, well, you do realize that the federal government's really not involved in education by design. Kick in some money for books and some things like that. He goes, you know that in France, every lesson every day in second grade and the fifth day is the same in every school in the country. He goes, do you want that here? And the guy goes, well, hell no. He says, and he had the number for how many school boards there were in his country, and it's like thousands of them. He goes, do you want us to take all that over? Well, no. Well, then what's your question?
Yeah, it's the same thing with election integrity. You know, you're dealing with local election boards. There's thousands of them. And, I know a guy who was at the National Bureau of Standards who was forever trying to say, look, this is even going back to the old Schubmatic, the mechanical, mechanical voting machines where
those.
Your vote would register when you walked out. You know, you pull a lever, the curtain would open, you walk out, and then your vote was cast. He said there were problems then. And he went down to talk to people in Congress, and, you know, and nobody was interested. And then one day, I forget whether it was a Democrat or Republican, said, Ray, come in my office here. I need to talk to you about something. He says, look, I agree with you. We got a problem with elections in this country. we got a lot of election fraud. So you got to understand something. 80% of the people in the House of Representatives got here because of that election fraud. Now, you want us to change that?
Well, it's, well, it's like having the 50 Chicago aldermen vote to go down to 45. I mean, we actually, we have 30 seconds. The story after the break was interesting. We actually had a little thing from our dorm. A couple of us had cars, old junky cars. We drove people around, and we actually did the election stuff in 1972. That would have been when Nixon and Nixon and McGovern. No, well, I'll think of that on the break. You'll know more than me. SP Futures up 650. Wayne, we're going to hang for the break, bud. SP Futures up 650. NASDAQ Futures up 26. Be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. Mr. Wade Batson with us. Wayne, anybody wearing a mask on the Washington subway or no?
Well, I think we're going to hear more about the corona novel virus. It reminds me of the the other novel virus from CDH. What was it, H1N1 or something like that a few years back.
Yeah, we had one of the S&P futures up 7, NASDAQ futures up 25. We'll through this quick down, 97. Individual stocks in the Dow for the earnings stocks. And American Express up 328. And Boeing, I don't know, Boeing's back up $17. I don't know what changed for the good for those guys in the last couple days, but whatever, maybe it was down too low. Intel up $3. Came out with good earnings also. Around the rest of the world, we got Europe on a big rally here. DAX up 207, 1.5%. FTSE up 125, 1.7%. Well, these guys were down earlier in the week. They're making it all back today. Kakaron up 70, 1.2%. Raijin, Shanghai is going to be closed for the next, I think they're closed till next Thursday for the Chinese New Year, but not nobody's wanting to celebrate much. Everybody's worried about this virus. Nikkei up 31.1%. Hang Seng up 40.1%. We've got bonds not doing much. The U.S. 10-year 1.73 down from the 1.84 a couple weeks ago. Bund made it back to only down minus, only negative 0.17. They're back to negative 0.30. Japan now minus 0.02 when it got, you know, above ground by a hair earlier in the week. So these have come back a little bit. Oil keeps going south, down 33.55.26. Brent down 45 cents, 61.59. Natural gas, and this is the eye-opener, 188. So oil companies are not doing much on oil, and they're not doing much on gas, so that's not good for those guys. Gold down 780. Silver's actually up $2. Gold's hanging in there, 15.57. So yesterday the news was that the WHO, the World Health Organization, came out and said, by the way, this is not a high risk event yet, operative word there being yet. So the markets came flying back, and we're up in Europe today because of that. So although the cases keep getting multiplied, but not hearing too many people, 8 people are dead or 10 or something, if you can believe the Chinese numbers. Matty, we got for us traffic weather, not much sports.
Not much. Coming up on 37 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Pretty good start on the area expressways, although we did have a crash that just happened on the south side, inbound I-94 at 95th Street. There is an accident that's causing a bit of a slowdown, but no issues coming in on I-57. Further inbound on I-90, looking good. Stevenson and Eisenhower have traffic building, but no accidents or issues to report. Same for the Edens and Kennedy. We do have an issue on Lakeshore Drive, southbound just before Belmont Avenue. A crash is blocking the left lane, and that's causing a little bit of a backup between Belmont and Addison, heading toward downtown on southbound Lakeshore Drive, so keep that in mind. And then out in the western suburbs, Route 83 at Ogden Avenue, there is a crash. Everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, it's going to be a foggy, misty, wet, rain, snow mix type of day that could turn into more of a snow mix overnight. We could see some significant accumulation if it's cold enough. In some outlying areas, 3 to 6 inches of snow. We'll see where we're at temperature-wise overnight, though, in the city. Could just be a lot of rain and sleet mix. Temperatures today, a high of 37 with those rain and snow mix on and off throughout the day. Right now, it's overcast and 35 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 72 today. Right now it's clear and 47. In sports, very quiet night last night. None of our local basketball teams, NBA or college, were in action. Bulls return to action tonight at the United Center as Sacramento comes to town. That's a 7 p.m. tip-off. Suns are at San Antonio tonight. That's a 6:30 Arizona time tip-off between the Suns and Spurs. And the NHL All-Star Weekend is underway this beginning tonight down in St. Louis. And Patrick Kane will be featured in the skills competition tonight. Chief.
Two things here. Why do you suppose, I can see Matty Weber doing something like this. You just get hired as the marketing guy for, let's say, Planters Peanuts. What's the first thing you do?
Well, I saw they discontinued the Mr. Peanut.
They didn't discontinue him. They killed him.
Who'd been around for over 100 years.
They killed him.
How'd they kill him?
He was hanging on some tree with Wesley Snipes and some other guy, and he sacrificed himself to save the other two and plunged to his death.
Wow. That's one way to do it. I always liked Mr. Peanut, though.
So did I.
Yeah. With his monocle and his cane and whatever.
Yeah.
The only thing is no one buys peanuts anymore, which is kind of sad. They're trying to do something to jumpstart it.
I love peanuts.
I love peanuts too, but there's a whole generation of people that can't eat them, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. Boy, I wonder how something like that happens. But Wayne, we covered how some of my it's the story. It was who was it? It was Nixon and McGovern in 72, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, Nixon and McGovern.
Well, we had just turned the voting age at that time was what, 19? So we just they had the metal machines like you're talking about, where you go and hit the numbers, then you pull the big lever, or you could actually in those days you could do straight ticket, which you can't do anymore. You could just put, maybe you just hit Democrat or Republican and then just pull a thing and they'd all go to the right spots. And
in some states it flips it over to the opposite party.
They gave everybody, we had like seven people stuck in my old Oldsmobile, and I dropped them off at all these different precincts. We all had our little 800 number. You had to park and you had to run in, and when the guys, as soon as the voting was over, the guys basically flipped back the curtains, and on the back of the machines are the numbers, right? So they wanted they wanted the presidential numbers. So everybody had to sit there, and the guy would say, okay, we got 350 for Tricky Dick and 100 for George McGovern. We'd have to run over to the payphone, and there was a 800 number on there, and you dialed in, and somebody would say, what precinct are you? And you give them the precinct in South Bend, and so we were part of the system. And my stepfather, who was an unusual duck, one day he goes, you got to drive me to work because I got to vote first. All right, fine. So we go up to St. Bernadette's, and I'm going through the thing and like voting for people like you're supposed to. He, of course, just hits the straight Democratic line. And all of a sudden I hear, what are you doing in there? Just hit the Democratic button and let's go. You mind letting me vote? I'm like, what are you doing out there?
Well, so I always heard in Chicago they told you, vote early and often.
Right. The machine, they had the numbers right in the back. Just like, well, now you put them in this, it's a scanner, right, Maddie? And the numbers pop up on the back of that thing, right? Or are they hooked into a system? I doubt if they are.
No, I think you just scan it in and it pops.
They're all different. Here in where I'm in Florida, Hillsborough County anyway, they have optical scan, but then that's all tabulated, and then it's uploaded over, the internet. So, there's a lot of potential points for fraud in the system.
Well, why do you think, I'm going to jump back a little bit to my earlier question, Wayne, why do you think even in this day and age where, I'm accused of being the Mr. Luddite when it comes to machines, even I know that unlike a whistle stop tour in Lincoln's age, you can't say one thing in Peoria. You probably might have a few newsmen on the train with you that maybe could put your feet to the fire, but by and large, you could probably give a little bit of a different speech in Peoria than you did in Decatur, right? And nobody would know the difference.
Oh, sure.
But nowadays, how do these guys, and most of them are younger than me, how do they not know that if you flat out say one thing at one rally and the next night say something the opposite, that you're not going to be caught by 90 bazillion people on YouTube and everything?
Sure. It's very easy.
But how do they not know that?
Anyone who would decide to, Joe Biden got in trouble with this back in 88. And during his presidential run, apparently, he used a few words directly from a speech by the British labor leader, Neil Kinnock, and he got pilloried for that. But there's software now that you can run speeches, and the software will find similar, just based on audio, find similar words. And, they can hit you with, hey, so-and-so said this, 2 years ago, and you said the same exact thing, and then there's the charge of plagiarism, of course.
Well, when you read stuff, I think like you do and like I try to, you're always going to be somewhere in your brain, there's going to be a phrase from somewhere you don't even remember, know you're using it.
Yeah.
But how is it like today? Like Manny sometimes gives me grief. Chief, you're the only guy that ever says who wrote the article you're quoting from. Does anybody, you could see when our police chief, I don't know if you heard, follow that story, in Chicago, when he was in his truck and evidently passed out or something after having a night out, starting at the bar you and I were in, the series. Anyway, you could just tell that one person wrote the first article. I think it was Cranes or someplace. And then by the end of the day, there was somebody wrote it in the Sun-Times and somebody wrote in the Trib and, you know, whatever else was around, the South Town or something. And if you read all the articles, you could absolutely tell, Wayne, that they all got it. The only research they did was reading the First Lady's article.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. The thing is, if somebody says something in public, but there's maybe one reporter there that reports it, and then everybody, well, it was a public statement, so they feel they can, you know, use it without attribution to the original reporter who reported the comment.
The interesting part was he was found, for lack of a better term, what would the word you use, Matty, at 12:30, but the series closes at 8. And not one of the articles mentioned that there was a 4.5-hour gap there, which led me to believe that none of the people after the First Lady went anywhere and talked to anybody. Or you would have put that together. Wait a minute, the place closed at 8?
And not only did he go to dinner afterward, but he probably went to one or two other spots.
By the way, I found some more research on this whole thing. The one lady was his driver, and a second girlfriend called the police on him when she saw him with the other lady. Some story. I had a couple people working. How do you do that? How do you keep two people going when you got a wife? I mean, isn't that a lot of work?
Well, as Donald Trump, he's has a lot of experience in that.
And he's got the wife who's one of the best-looking women in the world, for God's sake. I mean, what is with these guys? I'm not going to go down that road, but I will go down a little bit longer. Why do people feel that they don't have to be the example anymore? I mean, you know, when I grew up, Wayne, and we were in this, you know, kind of Irish Catholic ghetto, so that was, you know, part of it, but your parents never had to worry about you going down the block to somebody else's dad who was a World War II guy, just like your dad was, or something.
Yeah.
You never had to worry about, you know, a totally different moral system down there, like the husband and wife running around naked. I mean, it pretty much was
not in my neighborhood.
Yeah, the rules in your house.
He would have been down there had that been the case.
Yeah, I mean, the rules in your house were pretty much the rules in everybody else's house.
Yeah.
Everybody had to be home when the streetlights went on. I mean, maybe it was too even across the board, but you didn't get the feeling that you were going to bring your kid to class and tell the kid, look, when you use the bathroom, this is what you do. You wash your hands, blah, 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 and then walk up and see, like, you know, the principal of school peeing off the porch. You weren't going to run into that in those days. And even though, you know, people give, you know, grief about, you know, the priests and everything, they had three priests. All those guys did was work. I mean, there were all kinds of people in the neighborhood, and if you were in a hospital, they were there. Somehow they found out about it. They drove two cars. They shared two station wagons with three on the tree, you know, not even power windows. And there was no money there. I mean, the pastor paid for people's high school education if you asked them to, and all you have to do is go clean 10 pews one night a week. But there was no cash there. There was no abuse there. I mean, I'm sure there was other places because you hear about it, and they're not a lying. But, I mean, the morality was so smooth across the board. Then you get to Washington, and these guys, I mean, I read some stuff about Lyndon Johnson would have people, he'd be in the can, and he'd ask people to come out and talk to him.
Helen Thomas. My old friend, late friend Helen Thomas, he gave her an interview. He was sitting on the commode as she interviewed him.
How could anybody even think of that? Where did you grow up, in a barn? I mean,
Well, Johnson was from Texas, after all.
But, I mean, man, how could somebody even do something? I mean, the thought of that, this is stuff that, and these guys are supposed to be the cream of the crop.
Well, one could argue that LBJ began the effort to lower the bar for the presidency, and, you know, Nixon did his thing, and, of course, Ronald Reagan proved that anybody could get elected president, Donald Trump reiterated that with a little help before from Bill Clinton, of course.
Absolutely, but I don't see how. Just this is me. Again, this is I'm showing, I guess, some strength and some weakness here. I could never possibly be in a situation where I'm supposed to be a quote juror, The guy is a Supreme Court justice. He's not some schmuck. And he tells me to not leave the room. It's not like, you know, some judge in Harwood Heights, it's not even there all week, where I was on a jury thing and I come back 5 minutes late for lunch because I know there isn't a trial, there hasn't been a trial on there in 5 years. I mean, it's not, we're talking about an impeachment of the U.S. president, which is a big deal. And all of a sudden I cart my fanny over to Fox and do a full interview in front of everybody. I mean, how does somebody get the stones, the chutzpah to do that? I can't.
Yeah, and you know, and they announced the Chief Justice just like they do. I've covered Supreme Court meetings. Of course, you're not allowed to have any kind of electronic recording device, but you know, that's where a notebook comes in handy. But just as they when they begin the session, you know, somebody there says, "Oye, oye, oye! All rise for the Supreme Court of the United, the Chief Justice and the Supreme Court of the United States of America." It's very formal. And this Blackburn, she thinks, "Well, I'll just run over to Fox News and, you know, I mean, where is somebody like that coming from? You know, it's not like Tennessee has just always provided idiots to the U.S. Senate. Some of our best senators came from
it." Well, my mom was on jury duty somewhere. I don't know if she was county or where the hell she was, but she's on jury duty, and the judge says you can have an hour from lunch. Some lady walks in half hour late. The judge says, "Where were you?" She goes, "Well, I stopped in at Marshall Fields." He goes, "Fine, it'll cost you $50." I mean, this is a lady from Nowheresville getting a $50 fine for going to Fields for half hour, and yet, but is the world changed that much in terms of morality? I don't see how I could go back to my district because if I'm going to go give a speech, how do I not know a Maddie Webber of the world puts up a video of me sitting on Fox? I'm supposed to be over here.
Well, look what happened with an aide to Trump. This guy Euler said, "Look, we're going to have our revenge against the people that did this to us, this impeachment." And then some other White House aide, could be Euler, could be the same guy. CBS News reported that they received word that any Republican who votes for removal, their head will wind up on a pike. Now, this is jury tampering, and it's worse. Again, let's take it to a jury in Chicago or Washington or Tampa, anywhere, and where the, you know, somebody says, "You find my client guilty, and all you members of the jury, we're going to whack you."
Well, they pretty much did that with Blagojevich.
That's what the threat from the White House has been.
They pretty much did that with Blagojevich, with the second juror, Jack and juror pool. Hey, I know what I have to ask you from Stocks and Jacks. What is the rumor? What is the rumor mill regarding Trump's gang in the midst of all this mess, deciding that the labor numbers are not going to give them the reporters in a closed room 5 minutes before? Do they only want to run front runner themselves, or what started that out? Did they think somebody was front runner? I actually, from all I've read, Wayne, the labor numbers are usually never front runner. The Treasury stuff, yes,
yeah,
but the labor numbers not. So why out of the blue did the White House come up with that? Have you heard anything?
Well, they violate every precept we've always abided by. I knew a guy who worked at the Bureau of Labor Statistics. He said, "Look, when I was there and I helped, you know, he was a graduate of the University of Illinois, master's degree in economics. He said, "Look, that was my baby. We were told by the commissioner of the Bureau of Labor Statistics, this is like the golden Fort Knox. You protect this information, you know, basically with your life, until the actual announcement of the statistics." But like with everything, we've got a gangster president and a gangster administration. And, you know, it's like,
But what specific,
Al Capone or John Gotti being elected.
I know, but what specifically set them off on this? Because, like I say, if you give me the labor number 20 minutes before, Wayne, I can't tell you how to trade it. I think those numbers, I mean, I'm sure, you know, now a Fed announcement, now that's a different, that's a, as my mother used to say, that's a horse of a different color. You give me that, I'll make money. But those are the guys that have been accused of being front room out of their own idiocy or whatever. They let too many people read the speeches, but I never even thought the labor numbers were in play. And all of a sudden now we're going to, I mean, what did these guys see that all of a sudden, or not see? I mean,
they're cooking the books. They want favorable press. You know, Trump
you know, says, look, highest job numbers and, you know, in centuries. He, over in Davos, he said that, you know, he basically, you know, credited an American for inventing the wheel.
Yeah.
So this guy has no semblance of, you know, what's right, what's wrong. You know, he just makes it up as he goes along.
Well, it all has a theme that if it sounds good for him, it's got to be the truth, basically.
That's it. And yeah. It doesn't look, how many times has he divulged intelligence information? Code worded intelligence information because there's a camera there. And, you know, without worrying about the repercussions.
Well, is there any hope for the Democrats?
Look, you know, in times like this, and I've written about this, other nations in times of turmoil have always gone to the old guy from, you know, who they knew from the past. West Germany after World War II went with Konrad Adenauer. He was called Der Alt, the old guy. We saw that with France. They went for Charles de Gaulle. And I think basically that's why Biden is the guy, and this is why Trump went after him, was trying to bring him down, because he knows that as well.
I don't see him unless he gets, you know, Colin Powell as his vice president. I don't see Biden ever having this kind of cachet. I don't know why. I'm not a fan. I don't know. I can't tell anything bad about the guy. I just can't tell anything good about the guy. I mean, less than remarkable. Was that of a, you know,
and
just,
sometimes countries go for that. They don't want to try anything new. Because this frankly isn't the election where you can have at the top of the ticket for the opposition. You know, you don't want to play an, you know, have an experiment, because it's too risky.
Except,
and I just think that there may be a woman, a vice presidential candidate. I don't know. The top of the ticket, I think, is going to be somebody, and I don't think it's going to be Bernie Sanders.
No. They just moved the Armageddon clock closer than it's ever been.
Yeah.
We have Carl on all the time. I don't know if you listen at all, Wayne, when he's on, but his politics, shall we say, is different than yours, but his numbers pretty much confirm everything you say.
Yeah.
And his point is, we're getting near, maybe the market is too, with the money and so forth, but then again, I'm always early. And maybe we'll find a way to sneak through this time, maybe without a problem. I hope so. But his point is, we're over 20% now of medical care, and we've got a, you know, he puts our deficit every year is more like $1.4 trillion, not $1.1 trillion it's shown. And he's pretty good with numbers. But his point is, in 5 years, less than 5 years, all the crap, the Medicare, the Medicaid, all those things fall apart. I mean, there's a number there where if you extend out the income line and those lines, when it gets to be like 30-40%, 30-35%, the other people just can't pay for it. It's sort of like Illinois, if we lose another million people out of the state in the next 5 years and don't do something with the pensions, unless you got a printing press, the numbers just get too heavy, Wayne. I mean, they just get too heavy. One of the listeners, get a load of this, one of the listeners sent me, and again, I learned a lot of this, and please keep the stuff coming. It may not seem like I'm reading it, but I am. The guy sent me a picture of this house in Lake Forest. You know, I'm not a big house guy. We had a nice house in Beverly, but it wasn't nothing like this place. This place is, you know, 5 bedrooms, 6 baths. It's down to $775,000 in like an acre and a half of Lake Forest, down from like $1.2 million. The place is gorgeous. And I would never want to live there. A, too far away, and B, what am I going to do with that place? But they just dropped the price from like $1.2 million to $775,000 because the taxes are like $35,000.
Sold.
Yeah. If they gave it to you, I wouldn't want to pay $3,000. $3,000 a month is a mortgage. Not to mention a repair and maintenance of some place like that. I mean, if they gave it to you, I wouldn't want it.
Just think of the gardening.
Oh God, yeah.
Alone.
I literally, if you gave it to me, I'd say no thanks.
Yeah,
and you know, but how don't these people think that what if it's some you know, it's a retired couple, and the guy croaks, and the lady's living there by herself. How is she going to maintain that thing with a 3,000? I mean, yeah. Now maybe if you're over 65, you can knock the thing down to, you know, 32 grand or something. But I mean, what I'm saying, Wayne, is this is why this is not the time for a vanilla old dude. In my mind, I think there's too much crap happening. There needs to be a solution on this stuff, not just caretaker. Yeah. This is not
a transition. I mean, look, Biden, you know, nobody ever votes for the vice presidential candidate, but if he's the nominee, yet they absolutely will be because of his age and the fact that he already has said, forget about me with a second term.
Yeah.
So.
All right, bud, thank you very much. SP Futures up 6, NASDAQ Futures up 25. Back on Monday, Stocks and Jocks, have a good weekend. Hopefully the weather stays 35 here in rain. What do you think, Matty? Any chance?
I think there's a chance, but I wouldn't bank on it.
Oh, good. All right. Back on Monday.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.